Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of the Market or Pitch podcast. I'm your host, co-host, Corey Davis, and I'm here joined with my other co-host, Yesenia Reynoso. You want to say hi, Yesenia?
Hello, fellow professionals and general audience. How are you?
Well, I wish they can speak back, but hopefully they are good.
just pretend that there are a certain amount of audience. We can always have it embedded into our brains.
Okay, I like that idea. But like I said, welcome to Market or Pitch. This is our inaugural episode. Hand claps, everyone. Round of applause. Put your hands in the air. There we go. Hopefully you're doing the same thing at home. But yes, this is our inaugural episode. And this podcast, if you found your way to our little social medias or through iTunes or Spotify, is just like it sounds. It's an advertising and PR podcast from a Black and Brown perspective. Each week, we are here to just present the latest news in the advertising and public relations world with a little twist, because we are myself, Corey Davis. I'm an African-American male, and Yesenia is a Hispanic female, and we have our little twist. And we have our little perspective, because as you know, in this industry, or if you don't know, the advertising and public relations industry is predominantly non-people of color. And from this industry, we feel like it's great to have a space and a little section where we can discuss the latest news in the industry and give our perspectives on it. I, myself, in the advertising industry and marketing industry, I have around 10 years. I have experience working with clients directly and pitching their strategy. With the marketing side, I worked for a cinema company where I gave brands the ability to have their messaging in front of the front of the big screens before the movie actually started. And then I've also worked on the media sales side of things, where I've actually sold partnerships to different media companies on behalf of my clients. Yesenia, who works in public relations, she probably equally has 10 plus years of experience, but I am not going to give my pitch for Yesenia and let her do it herself. So do you want to discuss your background?
Thank you, Corey. That was a very vibrant introduction. Well, everyone, as Corey mentioned, my name is Yesenia Reynoso. I am currently the digital marketing and media relations officer for Y Communicate, which is a full service brand that assists clients in establishing and maximizing their brand reputation, voice, and identity. I've been in the PR industry for about 10 years, specializing in both for-profit and nonprofit sectors. I've worked in industry sectors such as cinema advertising, where I, ironically enough, met my good friend and co-host Corey Davis during my tenure at National Cinemedia, yes. The good old days. Also, I've worked in health and wellness, business development, events, and education. And so my career has been nothing but a roller coaster, but, you know, garnering communications and public relations experience, you know, is something that, you know, I very much, you know, feel passionate about. And I'm very much looking forward to not only have a conversation with you, Corey, but also, you know, for our audience about the ins and outs of the public relations and advertising industry from our perspective. Because, you know, as what we want this podcast to become, we want it to become a platform for all different types of professionals to not only get the latest news, but also at the same time to start generating important conversations that I personally feel need to be addressed in order to find viable solutions.
I agree. And in this podcast, we aren't coming to you as we are experts in the industry. I'm an expert in advertising. I'm not saying Yesenia is an expert in public relations, but we just want to come to this each week, have a conversation with their audience and just discuss our perspective in the industry. Because if you look at industry mags like Adweek and Ad Age and PR News, they're not necessarily geared towards a Black and Brown audience. And sometimes people can get stuck into a little bubble where they're not hitting opinions different from their own. So we just hope that after you can listen to this podcast each week, you can just take one little nugget away of opinion that you maybe never have heard based off the industry.
It's all about having that open mindset whenever we talk about these types of issues. I really think it's very important, you know, especially for people of color who have a stand in the industry, to basically be a bold, authentic voice in not only bringing change, but also addressing systematic issues that are affecting our industry. And so we're hoping that with this podcast, you have an opportunity to not only learn about, you know, what's going on, but also, you know, come in with an open concept to, you know, to have these conversations and view things from a different light.
Agree. And with that, like I said, welcome to our podcast and let's go on with the show. So our first segment, each week we will discuss a few news headlines, not only in the advertising and PR world, but also just in the general interest that interested us in the past week. So our first headline comes from NBCnews.com, which reported that as of October 25th, over 56 million people have already voted in the presidential elections. Between mail-in ballots and early voting, there's a prediction of record turnout. And not only is the advertising industry and the PR world benefiting from this from a business perspective, from the different ads and the different strategies that are being made between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, but also American people are very intrigued and very energized to make their voices heard into this next election. So with November 3rd being the next election day, Yesenia, I want to ask you, have you voted yet? Or if you haven't voted, do you prepare to vote early or do you think you're going to vote on election day?
I actually voted, Corey.
Wow.
I sent in my ballot, and I definitely, you know, wanted to avoid the very long lines as we're seeing, you know, in TVs, newspapers, and other media outlets across America. But I definitely felt that in, you know, this particular election, it feels different. There are a lot of, you know, important societal issues that that need to be addressed. But yes, I wanted to, you know, make my voice heard and ensure that my vote was counted.
Okay. And did you mail in your ballot or did you actually go in and vote in person?
I actually mailed in my ballot.
Okay. And and just continue with that, because myself, I can reveal, I haven't voted yet. But I do plan to vote within this weekend, and I plan to early vote. I definitely think it's important to vote and have my voice heard in this election. But primarily and previously, 4 years ago, I voted by mail. I sent in my ballot and I voted. I live in California where we can vote by mail, and I voted by mail last time. But because of the issues this year and between politicians politicizing the USPS, and the ability of maybe not having your voice heard if you do mail in your ballot, I find it myself important, even with coronavirus, to show up and vote early. I know everyone's different, but how did you decide from mailing your ballot versus voting in person? What was your level of strategy between deciding between the two?
Well, it was either mail in the ballot or drop it off at one of the official ballot box. Like to call it probably the ballot box, which is assigned by county. Obviously, I live in New Jersey, so I live in Bergen County. And so in my town, we actually had one ballot box that was situated in a central location. And so I was debating as to whether or not I ought to mail in my ballot or do I drop it off at the ballot box. But I know for a fact that there are plenty of conspiracy theories that have been floating around across the mainstream media, that tries to further amplify the misinformation about the security of mail ballots. Ironically enough, I live in a blue state, so I feel, you know, pretty secure that the U.S. Postal Service and most of their operations, it will be able to properly get the ballots where it's supposed to be, and so I wasn't going to let some sort of these false conspiracy theories stop me from voting mail in, and as you know. As the mainstream media has reported, it is actually 100% safe to actually mail in your ballot and the most effective.
That is a good point. And it's a conversation that I think we can get into in our next episode. And just listeners, FYI, our next episode that comes out next week will be all about the election. I'm pretty sure, just like you, we'll be all in with the all things elections. We will be here to give you the results, give you our analysis from an advertising and PR perspective, and then also kind of just discuss some deep dives of just the election and the politicized season of 2020 from the media perspective. But what you just said, Yesenia, I think it's very important to notate that voting by mail and just voting in general is very safe. But I do think the mainstream media, from entertainment and from a revenue perspective, is beefing up this issue of that maybe your mailing ballot is not safe. Maybe voting by mail is not the right thing to do. It does sell, you know, sell papers. It does sell news. It does help give them revenue. It gives the CNNs and MSNBCs and Fox News of the world more airtime to discuss more issues. But as a whole, I definitely do think mail-in voting is safe, and it's proven from the different organizations, USPS, the election committees have said that mail-in voting is safe.
I think it's kind of curious, Corey, to see, you know, just how the media from both print, online, and broadcast, you know, from both, I call them sides or factions, as I like to call them, to put it more appropriate, you know, as to how they have been able to basically, you know, further, you know, amplify, you know, sensationalistic stories, I should say, you know, and further promote conspiracy theories that I think, in my opinion, are actually, you know, doing real time damage. You know, the role, you know, in the PR world, the role of the media is to inform the public through actual facts about what is going on in their, you know, not only in their respective neighborhoods, but in the country overall. And I kind of feel, you know, that the media, you know, has not done its job in the terms of not only, you know, properly fact checking and keeping, you know, citizens informed of what's going on. But I think they become more biased. You know, the factions are, you know, I split up. One goes to the left, the other goes to the right. And, you know, and further, you know, put, you know, engulfs the flames of, you know, all these types of conspiracy theories, you know, among other things, you know. And we have seen, you know, just, you know, from a, you know, from a PR perspective, you know, the ratings, what it comes down to is all about the ratings. You know, if your show is, yeah, or whatever segment you're doing on a certain network is not bringing you the, you know, if it's not bringing you the ratings, then it's not newsworthy. And we all know very well that what, you know, whatever is popular out right now, what's newsworthy is what's going to be put on the air.
I agree. And like I said, next week, we'll get in more in depth with this. But ladies and gentlemen, that is your news headlines of the week. And let's move on to our next segment. So our next segment is our ad chat. Each week, myself, Corey Davis, I'm your advertising and marketing guru. And I'm going to give you a topic in my opinion of one new story that was kind of buzzing my mind. And we'll give you opportunity for Yesenia and I to discuss and go more in depth into it. So this week, this comes from NBCnews.com, and it's about Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben, as if you may or may not know, is a rice company, has been around for at least 50 plus years. And Uncle Ben, who's owned by Mars Incorporated, announced in September that they are officially changing their name from Uncle Ben's Rice to Ben's Original Rice. This is important to the Mars Inc. because they know that Uncle Ben, or they've said that Uncle Ben has racial connotations and can be very racially insensitive to the African-American culture and African-American people. And they really wanted to change the name to Ben's Original to really distance themselves away from that old racist name. My opinion is that this company has been around for 50 plus years. As Uncle Ben, And for people who may not know and may not be aware and think that this is no big deal, this isn't anything to come to anything to really celebrate, or this is anything to really have a controversial about, I just want to let you know that the name Uncle Ben is offensive to the Black and brown communities, specifically because of the name. Just like Aunt Jemima, who PepsiCo, who owns that brand, announced they are changing that name a few years ago. The name aunt and uncle in the historical landscape was given to African Americans because it was very insensitive, because they didn't allow them to be called Mr. and Miss in society. Some people may not think this isn't a big deal, but I say, if this not a big deal, how come it's not called Aunt Betty Crocker or Uncle, I can't think of a guy's name, but this is a very offensive name, and it's about time that Uncle Ben has changed his name. Myself, I'm an African-American male, and I remember as a kid going to the grocery store, buying Uncle Ben's rice, and thinking when I was younger that this doesn't feel right, but I didn't really necessarily know if it was right, but I had a feeling as a kid myself that this seems offensive of a name, but no one else calls it out as offensive, so maybe I'm the one that's crazy. So I am glad that Mars came to their senses and changed the name, but my issue has nothing to do with the name change. Frankly, Mars Inc. could have kept the name Uncle Ben. My issue is all of these companies in the wake of George Floyd and the political uprising of the Black Lives Matter movement in the summer of 2020. A lot of the companies have become, air quote, woke, and they have decided to change things, change materialistic things to make themselves feel better. But in reality, if they really wanted to differentiate themselves and do better within themselves, they would look within and change things within their own organization. My response to Mars Inc. is, instead of changing the name from Uncle Ben's to Ben's Original, how many Black employees of management do you have in your company? I would guess it's probably very little. How many Black organizations do they donate to? I will say, footnote, that Mars did say that they were going to give $2 million to Black chefs in relation to changing the name to Ben's Original. But besides that, how many real Black organizations from education are they giving to? It sounds like a Band-Aid on a bigger issue, and these companies would rather deal with a small issue of a name than deal with the big issue of systematic racism within their own organizations. Yesenia, I want to get you into this. Do you have an opinion, a conversation? What's your thoughts on just the name change or on how these companies are, air quote, becoming woke from the George Floyd and the Breonna Taylor situation?
First and foremost, to see organizations such as Mars go on to change, you know, prominent brands such as Uncle Ben's and Aunt Jemima, while it is long overdue, better late than never, I question as to whether or not, you know, if it's too little too late, which is number one. And second, I personally feel that this is only a Band-Aid to what is covering up to be a much bigger issue. Reason why I say this is because, you know, we're seeing brands not addressing the real systemic issues that are not going on in the organizations, but overall in the industry. And so when I hear brands saying that, oh, we're standing in solidarity with Black people, you know, as you know, obviously due to the current civic unrest that has been unfolding, it makes me question, you know, their sincere. It makes me question, you know, the legitimacy as to how genuine they are in actually advocating these initiatives. And so putting a Band-Aid on it is not going to properly address the problem. What are you doing in terms of programs, initiatives, and breaking down barriers, you know, in order for you to truly address the issue? I also think as well is that, you know, companies need to, you know, better educate themselves, you know, as to, you know, what has been, you know, barriers that have been preventing, you know, communities of color from thriving. And so we need them to be better educated, and we need them to obviously, you know, get an understanding as to, you know, why all of, you know, why all of this is happening and affecting our communities, and what can brands do as allies in order to properly address these issues, you know, be authentic about it, and also become true allies all at the same time.
Agree. And I think that really is the big issue with these brands, is figuring out a balance of how to, on the forefront, represent themselves in a culturally sensitive time, and represent themselves in a way that makes sense from a race relations issue, but also dealing with the issues internally and making sure that whatever they're projecting on the outside and through social media and through their advertising is reflected on the inside within their own organizations.
When I first heard about Uncle Ben's name change, I thought, okay, that's nice, but what else are you doing about it? I wanted them to further elaborate if they had a comprehensive plan or strategy, you know, to actually address some of the issues that, you know, that needs to be addressed. And you said it earlier during your ad chat, you talked about, you know, about internally for Mars, you know, what are they doing in terms of further elevating the voices of Black people and other people of color in the industry? Are they giving them a support system, you know, for them to get their point across? Are they also nurturing, developing, and eventually pushing up talent into the senior levels, you know, that can have a voice in terms as to how the overall brand properly represents itself? Because now, with diversity being such a big issue now, it's of the vital importance for any individuals to understand the makeup of the organization. Because depending as to how they look, it's 99% of the time, it's how they think.
Agree.
And so it's really, you know, important, you know, to have these conversations, no matter how uncomfortable it is. You know, we got to push the envelope. There's just no cookie cutting it.
Agree. And with that, that is the last word of my ad chat. If you guys have an opinion, I really do want to hear your opinions, whether you agree with what I said, if you disagree with what I said. I'm always open to learning and hearing a different perspective. Please email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. That's marketerpitch@gmail.com. Please just let me know your thoughts on my story. Moving on to the next segment is Yesenia's PR bulletin board, where Yesenia gives us a little news story of, in the public relations world, what's buzzing her ears. Take it away.
Thanks, Corey. Everyone, it's been very much well documented that diversity is a major problem that is being addressed in the PR industry. But PR Week came out with a very interesting article, you know, that addresses another subcategory, you know, within the diversity world that needs to be addressed. So the question is, does the PR industry have an ageism problem? According to journalist Chris Daniels, many PR veterans admit and accuse agencies of missing the big picture while, quote unquote, fetishing you. Now, what that means is that many PR industries, you know, talk about diversity and inclusion in terms of gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, among others, to reflect the client's needs. But as we have seen, you know, on the more lesser end, the one issue that is not being addressed is age. Some say it's due to a confirmation bias, agency structure, hiring practices, can put employees at a disadvantage and discriminate them based on age, which is a simple characteristic. The PR industry has become more ageist in the digital and social media world, which has become quite more central and client-centered. Ageism, you know, can cause agencies, you know, to evaluate employees based on career and life experience, institutional knowledge, and expertise amongst senior vets in big roles. Also, simultaneously, you know, these PR firms are allowed to take advantage of younger talent with cheaper salaries, which causes, you know, clients to think about young people who truly understand social media. And as you, as everyone tries to understand, you know, there's a perception, you know, that has, you know, not only industry, you know, professionals both on the agency and client side, but also, you know, overall, that when you hire young people, it's simply because they understand social media, which is, you know, which is not true. You know, I personally say that, you know, there's regardless, you know, what level you are, whether you're junior, mid or senior level, you know, anybody can learn social media as well as its methods, you know, at any stage in their career, and can provide a very suitable strategy as to how to, you know, as to how to better amplify, you know, your organization's needs. So due to this, you know, many due to this concept, you know, many seasoned talent felt pushed out and deemed overqualified. Code name for it is too old. So age, you know, the topic of age is not talked about, you know, in these diverse agencies. There are reports saying that they may tackle it in the future, but some address it if it's important, you know, to tackle it now instead of, you know, pushing it further behind and deal with it at a later time. According to CEO Jennifer Godley, the global president at Y2O, we have many generations of leaders represented in our companies, and it is a differentiator for us, with each generation bringing unique insights, skill sets, and contributions to work. But my question about it is, if companies are so very much into trying to find solutions to address the diversity problem, do you think it's actually fair, you know, to exclude a group of people based on age? Don't you think it might be easier to address all of those issues at once? Because when it comes to, you know, addressing, you know, diversity, the best way, you know, to create a workforce is one that is diverse in all ways. Agreed. Based on age, race, gender, sexual orientation, and more. And so, Corey, we, you know, as an industry, you know, have to, you know, come at a crossroads where if you're going to be discussing diversity, you know, on certain areas, but not bring one particular theme in, then you have to question, are we being hypocrites in the fact that we're not properly addressing the issue as it should?
I agree. And I think that I do think that a lot of times the decision is financial decisions, where they look at, stereotypically, they look at, well, an industry veteran who maybe has 20 years of experience would demand more money than somebody fresh out of college. So I'd rather hire somebody fresh out of college for $35,000 a year versus paying the industry veteran what they should earn. I don't know. It could be, you know, six figures, $100,000, $80,000 a year. It could be whatever they earn. I would rather pay the younger person. So I do think a lot of these companies are making financial decisions, but as a result of that, and with their own clients, they are very greatly harming their clients, because they're making financial decisions, they're not getting the greatest opinion or a diverse set of opinions. And it's very hurtful for an older person to be discriminated against just because of their age, when there's one thing they can't control. But also, not only the one thing they can't control, they have a very great opinions and they know things just based off the industry. Like you said, things like digital and social media can be learned, but there are certain things we both know within the advertising and also public relations industry that has to be learned with the experience. And that person is bringing 20 years of experience based off of knowledge that they've learned and over their career for the past 20 years. Somebody coming straight out of college may not know that. Yes, they know I can do social media, but they will never be able to learn 20 plus years of industry experience. Somebody who has 20 years, they can learn social media, maybe give them a year, but and then after they come back, they'll have that 20 years of experience. So I definitely think that there is room for these companies to look from within. That's my key word, I think, for this week, look from within and look at, are they really serving their clients the best by only hire a subset of people?
I, you know, feel that, you know, in order to build a productive, happy, well-structured organization, you need to have individuals from all walks of life, regardless of age, race, gender, or sexual orientation, you know, to come into your corporate environment and be able to produce results that are not only going to amplify your brand voice, but also tells a story as to what exactly you're pitching your audience to. And so while, yes, it's understandable that agencies have to, you know, make financial decisions, you know, in order to better enhance their business and financial operations, but you also have to understand that there are many skill sets that much more seasoned vets can bring to the table than junior level individuals. I always say that sometimes, you know, for a junior level individual, you want to turn to a senior vet because he or she has probably 15, 20 or even more years of experience and can pass on some of that insight down to that individual. We all can learn from one another, you know, the tricks in the trade as to how to, you know, how to properly develop different types of brands, you know, from that standard.
I agree. And like all industry, it goes back to your client. And when you only, and you discriminate against a certain subset of group, you're doing a very big disservice to your clients. And from the biggest financial decision, you think is hiring the young talent because you'll save money, but really it's hiring the best group of people and who is very diverse from color, sexual orientation, and age, where your clients can be very happy and will spend more money with you because of the ideas from within versus you saving money from only hiring a certain set of people. So
I'll close.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry about that, Corey. I'll close it off with this. We are living in a digital savvy world. But I think anybody, can learn, new tips and tricks, you know, as to how to further better themselves, in the industry. We want to be able to have that wisdom, expertise, and experience from senior vets, but also have the freshness, objectivity, and perspectives of the young people. Combine them together, and then you can create something enormously powerful that's going to connect with audiences. I think this is a topic that needs to be addressed, something to think about.
Agree. And with that, that is Yesenia's PR bulletin board. And if you guys have an opinion, or you guys have a different opinion, or want to just get in on our chat about the ageism discourse story, please email us at marketorpitch@gmail.com. Or if you want to just discuss our podcast or have any general questions, please email us at marketorpitch.com. And with that, that is our podcast. I'm so happy that we have our first inaugural episode in the books. Another round of applause to both of us. Any final thoughts, Yesenia, before we let our audience go?
Well, I just want to say thank you to everyone who's going to be listening to our inaugural episode of Marketer Pitch. This has been such a productive conversation. I hope everyone has gotten some insight as to, what we're going to be discussing about, but also a sneak peek as to what we're hoping to bring in the future in terms of content. And yes, please don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yes.
Marketer Pitch. We definitely could use some of that feedback. We are open-minded into hearing your ideas and also your recommendations as to what you want to hear on future episodes.
Definitely. And with that, that is the final word. I'm Corey Davis, my co-host, Yesenia Reynoso, signing off. And thank you. And we hope to hear you next week. Have a good one.
Have a good week, everyone. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.